Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 20 is our Bible study this morning. One of my favorite quotes is that Christians are like tea bags. You never really know what they're made of until you put them in some hot water. The things that are in you will come out of you when things bump into you or people bump into you. The Christian life is one that is revealed when you get tested. When you're actually put in hot water or difficult circumstances, when the things start to turn up the heat and life just, man, doesn't make sense, it's then that we start to find out just what is on the inside. Who do you really serve? Do you really know God or do you not? One of my favorite quotes from Pastor Greg Laurie is that a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that should not be trusted. I don't know about you, but I like to make sure that the things I'm going to trust in have been tested over time. You know, a boat that I'm going to get on, I want to make sure that, hey, has this baby been tested? You know, you'll see boats out there that are, you know, brand new and made, and they look really great on the showroom floor. But if there's a hole in that boat and it doesn't hold water, I don't want to get into that thing. You know, pretty often we'll buy new items for the church out here in Alabama for Jesus City Church. And I just bought a paper shredder the other day, and the paper shredder came. And when I opened up the paper shredder, it had all this paper already shredded in it. And it's like a brand new box. I'm like, what? I didn't buy a refurbished paper shredder. What is this? But I opened the drawer and it said a little phrase. There was a little piece of paper in there that said, tested for quality. Tested for quality. And I thought, okay. So they were just testing this thing out for quality. And that is exactly what the Christian life is like, is that there are tests that are going to come your way, but it's not to take you out, but it's to build you up. It's to strengthen you, embolden you. It's to get you at a place where Christ can be seen in you. What we read in our text today is a guy who's in the middle of prison. We've talked about it the past few weeks. Paul the Apostle is at a very difficult stage in his life. He's in the bottom of a Mamertine Roman prison. It is a nasty situation. There's not like your modern prisons today, okay? So he doesn't have cable TV. He doesn't have comfortable beds. This guy's in the bottom of a dungeon. There's no bathroom. He can barely see the light above his head. And he's writing this letter, speaking this letter to somebody on the outside. And so he's speaking as somebody is penning it. And this is the words that he tells these people in verse 12. He says, hey, brothers, I want you to know something. The things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Man, how amazing it is to be able to sit back on my life and look at the darkest moments in my life and realize that God was at work in my situation, even though I couldn't see it. That in the darkest times and the most dungeon-like experiences, I can look back and say, you know what? Those things actually turned out for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And that's my simple message for you this morning, my friends. The most difficult things that you will ever experience, the darkest days, the heaviest burdens, the stormy skies, all of those difficult times, God is at work in the midst of it. Even though you can't see it, even though you can't feel it, God is there. God is at work. And it's only later that you'll be able to look back if you make it through. If you trust God in the process, it's only then you'll be able to look back and be like, you know what? God has actually used those dark things, those difficult things for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. That's what we see in the life of Paul, is that Paul is giving us a principle for the Christian life, that God is at work in us. God is putting something deep within us. And it's only through hardship and trial and difficulty that those things come bubbling out for the two reasons, two E's here, for the enlightenment of non-believers and the emboldening of real believers. So why do we go through hardship? Why is life difficult? Because God is at work. God wants to use your life as an example. Maybe even a bankruptcy type situation or a business that gets out of hand, debt that's overwhelming. Why, God? He says, for the enlightenment of the non-believer and the emboldening of the real believer. That's what verse 13 says. Verse 13 says, verse 12 was, hey, all of these things that have happened to me have actually served for the advancement of the gospel. Verse 13, here's the enlightenment. He says, so that it became known throughout the whole imperial guard. So all of the guards that are there watching Paul, all of these non-believers, these Roman guards, you know, they are dressed, they are ready, they've got their swords. These are some bad dudes, like Navy SEALs of the first century. All of them are guarding Paul. Okay, he is a known prisoner, and they don't want this guy to escape. It says this, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard, these are Caesar's guards, and to all the rest, that my imprisonment is for Christ. He looked at his chains, not as chains, but as a megaphone. His chains were a means of open doors so he can bring the gospel in. It was an enlightenment to the non-believer. You see, those chains brought him into relationships that he could not have come into contact with otherwise. And matter of fact, the difficulties that you have gone through have actually brought you into relationship with other people that you would have not ever talked to in a million years otherwise. Like, would you really have picked up the phone and talked to Patrick Reddick if you haven't gone through what you've gone through? No, you wouldn't have Googled it. You wouldn't have researched it. It's funny how God will use the difficult things to bring us into relationship with other believers and also non-believers. And so here's the enlightenment that your difficulties are meant to be. If you do it the right way, if you're the right type of teabag and you put Christ first, which we'll get to verse 20 in a second. That's our main focus this morning. If you do it the right way, it's an enlightenment to the non-believer. And verse 20 tells us why it is, and we'll get there, but not only is it an enlightenment, but also it's an emboldening, verse 14. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So here's what happens when you see a Christian that goes through hardship with their head high, faith big, trust in God, singing in the midst of difficulty. When you see that happen, when you firsthand eyewitness get to come into contact with other Christians who say, you know what? Yeah, life sucks, man. This is tough, but God is good. God is with me. God is holding me. God is working out all things for my good. Even though I can't see it, I know he's at work. Even though I can't hear him, I know he's speaking. I know he's doing this. When you come into contact with a real believer that suffers in a really great way, it does something for your own faith. It emboldens you. There are some people in my life that have gone through incredible tragedy, and their faith has become contagious to me. When I watch them go through these difficult roads. There's a young man here, he's 21 years old. He's got stage 4 brain cancer. His name is Jordan Blazier. His father is the top NCO on Maxwell Air Force Base, and so he is a big wig on base. And his 21-year-old son, Jordan Blazier, stage 4 brain cancer. And Tim Tebow reached out to him, and Tim Tebow just made a whole thing about Jordan Blazier. And so they flew him down to, Florida, and it was awesome what Tim Tebow did for Jordan Blazier. But this young man has a trust in God that puts everybody to shame, where he is just telling people about the Lord and the goodness of God, and he's in incredible pain, but his eyes are fixed on the Lord. Every time I hang out with Jordan, I feel like, I've got to maybe encourage Jordan somehow. I have to remind Jordan that God's not forgotten him. But every time I leave Jordan, my faith is emboldened. My eyes are reset on God because he's suffering the right way. And this is what Paul is simply saying today. When you go through your hardships in the right way, with the right mindset, what I'm going to give you today is a proper mindset. And that's the fixing of it all. When you've got the right mindset, it will be an enlightenment to the non-believer and an emboldening force to the real believers. Now let's go down to verse 20. I want to give you the mindset, the secret to going through hardships in the Christ-like way. Verse 20 is our main focus. It says this as we kind of shift our message. Verse 20 says, "It is my eager expectation and hope." This is the ESV I'm reading from, and Ricky read from the New King James. "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed at all, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." Another translation says, "That is my eager expectation and hope that with all boldness, Christ will be magnified from my body, whether by life or by death." This is the secret to the Christian life. This is a truth, a bedrock truth that we bury deep within our soul. This is the very tea bag essence itself, that when a believer has this set in their mind, it doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what difficulty happens. If this is at the very root of your life, oh, the devil can bring what he can. But I'm going to tell you what, you know what, devil? Christ will be magnified from my body, whether by life or by death. Difficult days, hey, bring them on. Christ will be magnified from my body, whether by life or by death. You can even attack my body. I can have cancer in my body. Oh, Christ will be magnified from my body, whether by life or by death. There are four W's we're going to look at. Who is he talking about? What is he talking about? Where is he talking about it? And when is he talking about it? Who? Paul, the apostle, says that it's not himself that will be magnified. I'm not going to make much of myself. No. And that's often the struggle in the Christian life, is that who do we make much of? Many of you have built businesses, careers. You've established your name. You've set up things that bear credit to you. But the Christian life is where we sit back and say, you know what? I want to stop lifting up my name, and I'm going to start lifting up his name. Who is Paul talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the focus of the Christian life. He is the secret to the Christian life. If you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. Jesus is the focus. Jesus is the aim. He is the one that takes all credit. All eyes, all arrows, all efforts point to him. You are successful in your Christian life if you lift up the name of Christ more than you lift up your own. And when you do that, Jesus says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." Paul says, "Man, there's one who's living in me, who's given me life. And it's all about him." That's why I named our church, by the way, Jesus City Church. People ask me often, like, why did you call it Jesus City Church? Kind of random. Like, well, because he's kind of important. You know, there are a bunch of churches that are named after pastors or named after cities or named after streets or have random names. Why not just make it about the name above every name? Why not make it about the one who's most important? I want it to be that there's one name on your lips, and it's not the names in the building, but it's the name on the building. Jesus. It's about him at the end of the day. There's only one guy that's most important. I'm one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And where is that at? It's with him. It's with Jesus. So Paul says, I will not be ashamed of this. And with all courage and all boldness, Jesus, number one, is the focus. Number two, what does that mean? He uses this word in the New King James, Jesus Christ will be magnified, or the ESV says honored. But this word magnus in the Greek is where we get our English word magnification. And, you know, there are two types of magnification. You've got telescopes and you've got microscopes. And of course, kind of two different things here, but you get the idea. A microscope is the magnification of taking something really, really, really small and zooming in on it. And so you're magnifying so you can behold with your eye what you couldn't see prior. So there's the microscope. There's also, though, a telescope, where we take something really far off and really, really big, and we zoom in on it so we can get a closer eye on it. So we're magnifying tiny, 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 and really, 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 really big. And this is what Paul is saying. He's using language here to help me and you understand that he says, look, no matter where you look at in my life, whether you zoom all the way in and you look at my day to day, my moment to moment, Christ will be magnified from my body. I am going to make much of Jesus in the day to day, in the moment by moment. But not only that, if you zoom out on my life, if we just kind of zoom all the way back out, the summation of Paul's life was this: I live for Jesus. I make much of him. Christ is magnified in the life of Paul from the beginning to the end of his conversion, from the road to Damascus until he was finally killed there in Rome. He made much of Jesus. We can see from backing up, his life was about Jesus. We can zoom all the way in and look at his choices, how he conducted himself, his relationships, and we can see that he really, genuinely lived for Jesus Christ. And so that's my self-examination for you today. If we were to zoom in and look at your life on the moment by moment, and look behind the scenes, which nobody else sees, we're to zoom in. Do we see Christ? Do you really live for him? In the day to day, do you honor him? This is Christianity. It's only then, when you live for Christ daily, that you would be able to zoom out and say, he lived for Christ, or she lived for Christ in totality, where your life is honor and magnifying to him. This is amazing. And my prayer, that we would do the same, that we would make this a bedrock truth, that Jesus will be magnified daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, decades. Jesus will be magnified in my body. And it's a decision that you have to make. Every single day, you have to wake up and decide where you're going to magnify. That's the third W. Where are we going to magnify Jesus? He says, Christ will be magnified in my body. In my body. This is a truth that every Christian needs to hear. Plenty of people say they want Jesus magnified, but they don't show him magnified from their daily walk and daily lives. We say it, but why are we so slow to show it? Paul was making it personal. He's saying, listen, yeah, he's going to be magnified from me. He made it personal. My life, my body, the temple of the Holy Spirit that I have, my 10 fingers and my 10 toes, where I go, the place my feet take me, the things that my hands do, the things my eyes look at, the conversations that I have. Christ will be magnified in me. Now, this is important because there's a lot of people that say they have a said faith, but there's a difference between having a said faith and a saving faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me in that final day, Lord, Lord, did we not do these things in your name? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not heal the sick? You know, he says, many will say to me in that final day, but he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. There is a real truth that demons believe in Jesus, but they're not saved. So when people tell me, oh, I believe in God, I'm like, yeah, so does Satan. Oh, yeah, I've been to church my whole life. Yeah, I'm sure Satan has too. Oh, yeah, I was raised, you know, with it. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure plenty of demons as well. Saying you believe is nothing. It's actually tasting and see the Lord is good. It's actually knowing Christ from the heart. It's surrendering your heart to Him, inviting Christ to come into your life. Jesus, come into my life. I need you as my God, as my Savior, as my friend, as my sustenance. I need you, God. It's opening the doors of your heart to God and letting Him in, not keeping Him on the outside. And Paul here is saying that Christ is going to be magnified in me. Now, where does this like show itself practically? You can't like live in an adultery and be like, you know, like sleeping with somebody besides for your spouse and be like, oh yeah, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by Christ, by life or death. It's like, no, those don't live together, all right? Like you can't do that. You can't continue in this daily sin that you've been doing and say, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. One cancels out the other. Like you can't keep smoking pot and getting drunk every weekend. You can't keep cheating on your taxes and keep doing all you can. Like there's plenty. You fill in the gaps here. Living a dishonest life. This phrase, when you ingest it and you make it a part of who you are, Jesus will be magnified in me. It helps you in your struggle against sin. It immediately awakens you to the fact that, man, I can't keep doing these things. I can't live in a way that's dishonoring to Him. I can't say it and then not show it. Paul says, I will show it. Whether you zoom in or you zoom out, you will see it in me. Jesus will be made much of. And when? He says, in my life and even in my death. This is pretty radical. I like this. This is like just a bold, confident guy. Just like, you know what? Hey, bring your worst, man. I'm going to live for Jesus no matter what. What's the worst you could do to me? Kill me? Oh, then you send me into God's presence. What's the worst you could do to me? Punish me? Take my stuff away? All my treasures are hidden in Christ. He's got this like bold confidence about him. Like, do your worst, I dare you. Christ is going to be magnified in me regardless, all right? So whether I'm alive or I'm dead, this is what you're going to get. I'm a one-trick pony, man. You're going to get Jesus. That's it. That's all that I bring to the table. And it's in this that the secret to the Christian life is found as we wrap this up this morning. Who are we to make much of Jesus? What are we to do? Magnify Him in every way possible. Where at? In your body. With what God has given to you. When are you to do it? Right now. In your life and even by your death. What is the result when you do that? It's what we opened with when we started. When you live this way, it will be an enlightenment to the non-believer. Non-believers will look at you and be like, oh my goodness, like, there's something different about you. The lights will go on for them. They will see it. They will hear it. They will experience it. Plenty of times people say, man, I like Jesus. I just don't like Christians. Well, it's time that we show them what real Christians are by showing them Christ. It's an enlightenment to the non-believer and it's an emboldening for the real believer. I get encouraged when I meet people that live for Jesus and Him alone. And they say, Jesus will be magnified in me, whether by life or death. That's contagious, my friends. You think COVID-19 was contagious? Nah, this is contagious. A life lived for Christ, making much of Him. Amen. Amen. That's it.